You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hey there, everybody. Greetings, War Brothers, War Sisters, War Friends from the Beyond the Binary. It's me, it's Joe Thrashenkill. You're listening to the Toilet Hill Radio Show. I'm here joined today by the internet sweetheart. You know him as 365 Days of Horror, or Jordan. Jordan, how you doing?
Infernal, chocolatey, Easter egg hails, my brothers and sisters and others.
We are up early recording this episode on an infernal Easter Sunday or something. I don't know. I don't even remember what the point of this holiday is.
This is the day once a year where I realize some people are like actively Christian that I did not know about, because they'll post on social media somewhere just "He is risen." And I'm never quite sure if they're joking or not, because like nothing else in their life would clue me in on their religious beliefs or non-beliefs, except for today when people tweet things like that. And it goes, huh, I had no idea.
I took my dogs out for a walk this morning, and one of them started pissing on a mailbox. And I looked up and saw that whoever lived at that house, they had constructed this mailbox covering for the day, this big, you know, "He is risen" sign on top of it. I'm like, oh, that might be kind of blasphemous, I guess.
He is pissing.
When I used to have to go to church every week or multiple times a week when I was a kid, I couldn't keep the dates straight. Like, I remember there was one Sunday where, you know, there were palm branches around for some reason. I was like, I don't remember what that's for. And then, you know, some odd weeks later, it would be Easter. And I'm like, I don't really know what this is for either. Why am I here all the time?
I mean, that's Ash Wednesday for someone who isn't Christian, just going, why do people have schmutz on their forehead? What's happening?
I think that's only for Catholics. I don't know. I never had to do that shit. We did, you know, the sect that I belong to did kind of believe that the Catholics were a little bit, you know, pagans or whatever.
So they were real mad about John Kennedy becoming president and working for the Pope secretly?
Yeah, you know, Southern Baptists having a problem with all of that. Can't imagine it, right?
Now, for your services, was any of it, I know some places do it in Latin, is yours all just in English?
Yeah, it's all in English. The only experience I've had with the Latin services when I was, you know, dating Catholic girls and they made me go to Mass with them.
And just so many experiences I never had to deal with. Was yours for clothing you have to wear, was it pretty lax? Like, would people wear the Troy Aikman jerseys so they can go straight to the game afterwards?
It wasn't that lax. You know, real harsh, judgmental type atmosphere. You had to put on some nice clothes at least. Later on, when I got a little bit older, my folks started going to a non-denominational church that encouraged you to wear your cowboy hat and jeans.
A mega church?
No, it wasn't a mega church. It was set up in the fucking gym of a boys and girls club. I had to play guitar in the band.
Well, that sounds like quite the different youth experience than I had.
You know, churches and small towns, I think that you and I had very diametrically opposed, you know, growing up periods there.
I mean, I've never actually been in a church before.
Yeah, not even to, like, use the bathroom?
No, I mean, that's what the outside's for, right?
I guess so, yeah. I prefer the conveniences of, you know, the inside, personally.
I'll just run into you can go into a supermarket and not buy anything and just use their bathroom and no one will say anything.
That's true. I've done that as well. There are lots of, you know, tips and tricks for bathroom usage that you can get only here on the Toilet Hill podcast. No, I don't think I've been to a synagogue. Guess I haven't had an occasion to. To be honest, I don't know where one is near me.
Well, you live in a major city with colleges and hospitals, so there definitely is at least one.
Yeah, I know there is. I guess I haven't had any. Like, for a while there, I was going and seeing, you know, like classical guitarists or like, you know, what is it called? American primitive style guitarists whenever they would tour through Austin, and they typically played at some church or another because I guess they have nice acoustics and they're not about to, you know, fucking cause a ruckus and they don't sell beer or anything like that. And I guess I'm kind of a nerd is what I'm saying.
Except for like the first Unitarian church in Philadelphia that has, or at least used to have, metal shows in the basement all the time.
That kicks so much ass. I love that.
And I think Sun actually played upstairs, like in the pews for one show.
Man, I would have loved to see that, even though Sun's not really my jam or whatever. That sounds like a unique experience I would have loved to check out.
Yeah, I mean, those are always fun, seeing shows in non-show places, whether it's inside of a building that doesn't normally have them, or just like randomly outside or in a mall or a parking lot. Those are fun.
Agreed. I think shows are going to be coming back. I mean, I know that we've said this for a year now, that shows will never come back, but they might be coming back. I don't know what the circumstance is in your part of the country, but in Texas, as a kind of mea culpa, sorry for letting so many of you freeze to death in that winter storm without power. They opened up all the vaccinations for pretty much anybody. So your boy got himself a one-shot J&J shot, you know?
So someone just walks up to a bell tower on a college campus with a high-powered rifle full of syringes and just shooting people.
If we had, you know, if you could have your preference of how you got the shot, I would definitely want to go with that.
Just a surprise assassination attempt of cures and vaccines.
My dad was on campus at UT when Charles Whitman climbed up there and started wasting people. So I think it'd be good to have that bonding experience, you know?
Everyone can stand on the X where Kennedy was assassinated and do a little wave and have a fun picture with it and then get vaccinated.
It sounds fun to me. It sounds like a lot of fun. And you know what? Since I got that J&J shot, I should be good until boosters are required 9 months from now.
Well, my state hasn't even opened it up to people under the age of 50, so I'm just sitting here waiting, trying not to go outside as much as possible.
See, what you need is either, you know, your local government to kill a lot of people unnecessarily through incompetence, or have like your highest, you know, local elected rep, a governor perhaps, to get in all kinds of hot water for, you know, maybe putting his dick in places that don't belong. I hear that's a quick way to get vaccines opened up to more people.
Well, my governor joined the Biden administration, so we have a replacement. They put in the lieutenant governor, who actually has, as lieutenant governor, has zero power in like state politics. And a few years ago, someone ran for the position with the specific platform of abolishing it and almost won.
That's incredible.
So we just have this new guy now who, I don't know. We shall see what happens.
He's not like an old school mob guy, is he?
No, he's looks like he's kind of partially melting at this point. He's very jowly. And all I know is that he likes charter schools, so I don't like him.
Oh, okay. So he's just a standard Dem type.
Hopefully he's just a place setter for someone else in whatever 2 years.
I think you need the mob guys, to be honest with you, because at least they understand you got to give something back occasionally in between, you know, breaking arms or whatever, you know, in person.
They get stuff done, and, you know, sometimes they just have to beat someone with a log from a fireplace. Buddy Cianci, look it up, kid.
Buddy Cianci, Rhode Island folk hero.
Famous for his tomato sauce and, you know, organized crime usage. And he ran, before he died, he actually ran for mayor again of Providence and almost won.
God love him. God love him. Once an actual criminal gets in office and, you know, they do a little bit of something, they don't even have to do much. Just give something to the people. They can stay there forever.
I mean, what's his name? The governor from Virginia, Northam?
Oh, yeah. Northam, old blackface Northam.
Yeah, he's like legalizing marijuana. He's ensuring up voting rights for millions of people. He's like doing all of these things. They're like, actually, this is pretty good.
Yeah, there were all those calls for him to resign. He said, no, instead, I'm going to just go full court press all of the shit I should have been doing in the first place. It's the same thing Cuomo's doing right now.
Is that chaotic good? Is that what it falls under?
It's just chaotic. Chaotic coward is more like it.
That's fine, as long as you get what you want.
Exactly. Like, I don't give a shit. All politicians are just bad people. They're not good. As long as they're scared and doing nice things for the people, that's the best you can hope for.
It's like today, I think Charles Barkley was trending on Twitter because during March Madness, he talked about like Republicans and Democrats are more interested, or politicians are more interested in like self-preservation, stuff like that. And the people like championing it the most are like reporters for Newsmax and just all these awful right-wing organizations. Like, you know, he's talking about you too, right?
Yeah. There's a blind spot with that kind of thing. Whenever you start, you know, talking about the flaws in the system overall, right-wingers are like, aha, you do it too. It's like, no, this entire system is awful, it's piss poor, and you're a big part of it.
But back to shows, as we were talking about, I actually have two that have been scheduled like very recently within the past week. One is Madball is playing like an outdoor show, the next 2 or 3 weeks. And Byzantine just announced a tour, and they're going to be playing here sometimes in August. And seeing the announcements and flyers for it, I had that initial, ooh, maybe I'll go. And then immediately I went, no, you are not going anywhere.
I haven't
definitely
heard.
Not before I get the vaccinations, and definitely even after, I know I'm not going to be comfortable being around a lot of people, especially in a concert setting where people are going to be knocking into you.
Yeah, that's fair. I haven't heard the name Byzantine in a long time. That's a blast from the past.
Still around. I think this is their 21st anniversary tour they announced it as, because it's supposed to be 20 last year. But they're just one of those pretty straightforward, talented metal bands that just do their thing. They put out an album, they go on tour, they have their devoted smaller fan base, and that's cool. They just do their thing.
Madball, though, I'd have a tough time saying no to that. Every time I've seen Madball, it's been a really good time.
I've seen it before. I'm good.
Yeah, that's fair. I was actually hip to a new came out in 1998 record, solo album from one Freddie Madball, Catholic Guilt, the other day.
It's Sunday morning and I'm not in service. I'm not nervous because I know I'm going to hell for all the things I've done and I deserve it. I'm a sinner, not a servant. A merchant of vices. I cleanse my soul with wine like Jesus served it. I swerve through life because these roads are treacherous. It's not on you, God. I've brought on the recklessness, the selfishness, the helplessness I feel inside. Sometimes comes from the demons that I hide.
And if I'm going for New York hardcore, I think I'd prefer Sick of It All to Madball.
I'm the opposite. I've seen them both a bunch of times, and I think I prefer Madball. But to each their own, you know. We all have our own flavor of holding it down, setting it off, so on and so forth.
And if we're all one with the underground.
No, I'm going to go to my first show in, you know, fuck, more than, you know, a long-ass time. But I'm doing one of those, like, ultra limited seating things outdoor, you know, your party has their own table that's like 10 feet away from the next table kind of things, here in a couple of weeks. It's not, you know, if you're a metal dude, this is not exciting at all. Well, I don't know. Some of you guys really, Charlie Crockett is a big Texas guy.
Any relation to Davey?
He claims that he is. Yes.
Isn't that convenient?
That's kind of a throwback to the way that people used to do things, especially Texas politicians, just lying about their heritage, you know.
Me Lincoln Washington.
So that'll be good, probably. I don't know. I'm going to sit outside and at a small table in excruciating heat and watch this guy play, and hopefully that'll be a good time. Hopefully I will be like, this is what I was missing, and not like, oh, this is... I don't like shows anymore.
It'll be, this is what I was missing, and not, this is what I was missing.
We're hoping. We're hoping it's the former, not the latter.
I mean, it's when shows come back in earnestness, it's not going to be some massive explosion of people attending just to feel something good. There might be a slight uptick in people going, but local shows, you're not going to get sold out local shows just because it's finally something to do. You're still going to get the five people that are in the other band just sticking around towards the back of the venue. Let's be real.
I think at the beginning, I think that when things really let loose, you will see an increase in the randos that you play at your five band local shows. And then, you know, your band is going to do such a shit job that that just peters out immediately.
Yeah, people are going to get over it pretty quickly. Yeah. You know, and think of these tours that are going to be happening. If there is another spike, which is most likely going to happen in terms of COVID cases and people getting sick and all these variants, that might put a damper on any tour that comes through 2 weeks later.
That's true. You know, you're going to have your bottom tier bands that really never stop playing shows during this entire thing, just ruining it for the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, your band's going to be on tour, and Fozzy played three nights before, and they're going to have to shut down because the place is just riddled with COVID and syphilis.
Yeah, the Fozzy tour bus, it's just covered in a green cloud like pig pen or something. Just
pizza grease.
Carrying pestilence all across the country wherever they go. So that's kind of neat. And again, I can't stress this enough. We're all going to have to get more vaccines in the future. This is going to be one of your regular checklist things.
Yeah, I'm going to be deeply annoyed when I eventually do get the vaccines and like 3 months later I catch something new.
It might happen. We have done a very poor job of this whole thing. Right now I feel untouchable, even though I, you know, statistically could very likely catch another bug or whatever, but you know, it's probably fine.
Even the slightest breeze.
It's probably fine. Let's go with that. So I don't know. Hopefully you, Lieutenant Governor, can, you know, get caught burning down an orphanage for insurance money or something, and you can get that vaccine soon.
I mean, I even looked up if you're eligible for pre-existing conditions, and it's like, well, do you have cancer? No. Do you have an immune deficiency? No. Tough luck.
Really? That's
Or you like, want dialysis? No.
That's all they gave you for the pre-existing conditions?
You know, it's a small, small list, and it's mostly like you're seriously sick. You can get these, but it's just like... I just have all these little useless problems, and you know, I can't believe they're not counting mental scars and anxiety. That's no fair.
I mean, a pre-existing condition have played the basement of a punk house show before.
I once touched the floor of a punk house basement. Yeah. I need it immediately.
Absolutely. I think that qualifies. You know, just write it down, go to Walmart. They should give you what you need.
I just go in wearing JNCOs and a backwards Yankee cap and tell them that I used to listen to nu metal, and they just jab me right away. They don't even take my information.
Yep, I attended Woodstock 99. Jab them.
the army swoops in and starts testing you.
Yeah, that is the danger, that you might become a medical specimen. But you know, it's coming, probably, hopefully, maybe enough. You know, Rhode Islanders will get pissed off that everybody else in the adjacent states is getting it and that their guy isn't moving his feet.
Well, the opposite happened in the beginning. It was Rhode Island was like doing the best in the country, and people from surrounding states were coming to Rhode Island for like their summer vacations and getting all of us sick.
That's, yeah. Man, this entire, you know, fucking pandemic, I've really, really wanted to go out to West Texas or to go out to rural New Mexico and, you know, just kind of make a big road trip and see all those small towns, these, you know, very picturesque places. And every time I thought about it, I was like, well, there's no hospitals there. I don't want to get somebody sick and, you know, kill 40 people. And yet that has not stopped anybody else. Like, you know, everybody that had the same, you know, thought that I did, just went ahead and made that trip and, you know, killed half of West Texas.
Yeah, you know, a lot of us sacrificed over a year of our lives trying to do the right thing and for some people, that just never changed. They just went about their day, and some of them are still trying to do it. I just read last night a father was arrested at Disneyland or Disney World, whichever one's in Florida, Disney World, for refusing a temperature check at the gate. It's like they're just going to put a thing up to your forehead for 2 seconds. It's fine.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
he was arrested for trespassing because he refused to do it.
I mean, the temperature check is just fucking, it's security theater anyway. Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Just take your baseball cap off, let them hold the fucking, 5G reader up to your head for 1 second, dude. That's cool. No, people have lost their minds entirely.
Yeah, and they're trying to do this stuff for concerts, or at least there's stories about it coming out. I don't know if it's actually going to happen, whether it's vaccine passports or more temperature checks or... you get a test before you go into the show. I don't know if any of that's actually going to happen. Maybe for a couple months, and then, people just kind of move on. And it's like that well-seen video of the security guy not touching anyone and just like moving his hands up and down, pretending to pat people down as they go in.
Respect to that guy.
I mean, they just gave some guy a jack and said, we'll give you $10 if you just pat people down.
Deal. Absolute deal. Yeah, no, it's because, regardless of, what makes sense, everything is moving forward because, we can't afford to stop anything or the entire, house of cards collapses. I know that you're a sports fan, right? We got opening day happened just a couple days ago. It's for my team, maybe the worst team in the entire league, the Texas Rangers. Their opening day is tomorrow, and the Texas Rangers decided that they would open up the new stadium to full capacity. Just jam everybody in this fucking shed and let's have a good time.
Everyone just yelling and screaming at the top of their lungs. I mean, they've already canceled some games or suspended some games because teams have had sick personnel or players. And I think for hockey, the Vancouver Canucks are dealing with an outbreak from a variant now. It's just going to be this constant cycle of we're back to normal. Oh, no, we have to stop. We're back to normal. Oh, no, we have to stop. And it's going to be concerts. It's going to be sporting events. It's going to be really any place where lots of people gather. I'm sure we're going to see spikes after today for families gathering for their ham dinners and for people going to church.
Yeah, that's a certainty. I mean, I don't know. I hope that people are... I hope that everybody that is eligible to get a fucking vaccine is getting that fucking vaccine. That's my big hope there. I don't know. I was looking at the the Texas Rangers, summation of the beginning of the season for them. And can I read two quick paragraphs to you? Because this is just it's pretty brutal, man.
Sure.
Can a 41-year-old Princeton grad with zero front office experience lead a rebirth of the Texas Rangers? There you go. That's your opening day storyline for Major League Baseball in North Texas. Well, besides President Joe Biden appearing on ESPN last night to call the Rangers' plan to open 40,300-seat Globe Life Field at full capacity for Thursday's opening day game, not responsible and a mistake, as COVID-19 infection hospitalizations rates raise nationwide.
Hey, what is the name of their stadium now?
Globe Life Field. And
man, doesn't that just conjure up childhood memories of seeing your favorite ball team? I hate that they do that now where it's all just sponsored places. Petco Park. Bring back the War Memorial Coliseum.
I have incredibly fond memories of a kid going and seeing a very bad Texas Rangers team at Ranger Stadium, which was one of the most aesthetically pleasing ballparks in the nation, if you ask me. It was wonderful. The only problem was that it was open. It was an open stadium, so it got hot as fuck in the summer, But you're in North Texas. That's what it is. So they bulldozed that, very nice, very fully functional stadium that was built in the early 90s to put in this retractable roof monstrosity. It looks like a fucking shed. And they named it Globe Life Field. And any warm memories that I had of this team is replaced with the shed, the 41-year-old Princeton grad with zero front office experience, and the incredibly irresponsible reopening at full capacity of this new shit-ass stadium.
I read not that long ago, and it actually made me feel really old. One of the oldest stadiums in all of baseball is Coors Field, where the Rockies play.
Seriously?
Seriously. I think it's like the second or third oldest now.
Yeah, built in like 1993 then?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just about everyone else has replaced theirs. I think the Dodgers is the oldest.
I mean, everybody knows that, you know, building a new stadium is just this incredibly evil maneuver that ownership does to extract money out of whatever locality that they're in, you know, make the citizens pay for the bonds for your new stadium so you can raise prices, you know, get a shot of hosting the World Series, like all kinds of horseshit. Just it's just a big grift, and it makes me not like sports anymore, man.
We have to knock down all this affordable housing so our evil billionaire owner can park his yacht.
Yeah, wasn't that the case in fucking Compton with San Diego Chargers?
Yeah, well, these teams beg for money. They get their billion-dollar stadiums, and then they hightail it 5-10 years later just because the owner doesn't want to live there anymore or be near there anymore. They can get some sort of tax write-off for it, and then your city is on the hook for 30-year leases. They just can't get anything in there.
Yeah, and by,
it's great.
You know,
it's awesome.
Before that's all paid off, of course, a new stadium's underway.
They're like trying to build a soccer stadium in our city right over here, and she's like, "It's gonna be empty." I don't think you really understand. Despite I know there are communities around here that will enjoy it, you're not gonna fill it, and we do have winter 6 months out of the year, so it's going to be empty for half the year.
They're in the process of building a soccer stadium near my house right now in Austin. Austin is the biggest city in the nation without a professional sports team. So they decided, oh, we'll fix that. We'll give you soccer. I can't stress enough that I don't want that.
Well, you're gonna get it.
No, there's a.
And then you're gonna get rowdy, drunken soccer fans walking through your street as they walk to their cars parked 10 miles away.
Yeah, I mean, there's enough guys in Austin that, you know, wear a newsboy cap all the time to cover up their premature balding that will, you know, definitely fill the stadium every weekend. I'm looking forward to that. They'll complain about the beer selection at the stadium too. I'm looking forward to. You can't even get a Guinness here.
They'll probably build a microbrewery in it.
They probably will too. It'll be insufferable. I'm looking forward to getting out of here. In honor of opening day and all of this horseshit that we were just talking about, professional sports writ large, I wanted to share this article that I found the other day on Noise Creep, the 10 greatest metal baseball walk-up songs.
Noise Creep, which is like an offshoot of Loudwire.
Yeah, this is just like, you know, reskinning the site, maybe hiring a different AI to to write your articles for you.
Yeah, because I read this, and I'm like, did a real person actually write this?
A real person with real bad taste. this was published 8 years ago. So, you know, in that time we've had a whole new crop of washouts, and, they have, new and exciting, butt rock songs that they walk up to the plate to. But this
it's sometimes fun to see some of these old sports names that like you completely forgot about, and then all of a sudden it pops into your head. I would always do that with my dad whenever we'd have our like weekly phone call. I'd answer the phone and just drop an obscure name on him from the 90s, and like he might do the same and always get a laugh out of us, especially if it was a funny name. Like for hockey fans, there used to be a goalie named Ron Tugnut. That I, like, just randomly remembered a week ago and just, you know, brought joy to me.
I mean, like, my knowledge is mostly Dallas Cowboy washouts, of which there are many with fascinating backstories, you know. Let's remember some guys, Nate Newton, you know.
My favorite Nate Newton, arrested with, 350 pounds of marijuana in his trunk and assault rifle.
You gotta stay hustling, man. Ryan Leaf, who was a washout at the Cowboys and numerous other teams as well.
And the Chargers, famously.
Famously. Lots of... I mean, you read Deadspin back in the day, right?
I did.
It's the section, Let's Remember Some Guys, a recurring feature of just some fucking guy that had three seasons and, you know, fucking Cleveland and, you know, do you remember that name? Yeah, how about those days?
Sometimes it's fun to just go Chili Davis.
You know, it's always fun to say Chili Davis.
Benny Agbayani.
I remember that guy.
See, exactly. It's a blast. You can do that with bands, too. I mean, we'll have to do an episode where we just go back and forth and name obscure Century Media bands that were hyped to all heaven for like 6 months and then fell off the face of the earth.
Well, let's go ahead and maybe take a look at some of these walk-up songs. You know, we can discuss, we can compare notes, we can see what we think about remembering these guys and or these songs. Let's start with number 10 on this one, "The Bleeding" by Five Finger Death Punch. You've heard of those guys before, yeah? Is Ryan Lavernway from the Red Sox? That was his walk-up song.
The lying, the bleeding. I'm a tough guy.
And let's look at this descriptor here, and we can compare it to the baseball prospectus. Red Sox catcher Ryan Lavernaway hasn't proven himself in the majors yet, but that doesn't stop him from walking up to the plate to the heavy sounds of Five Finger Death Punch's "The Bleeding." In 2013, Lavernaway tied a major league record with the most pass balls in a single game, totaling 4 pass balls. So yeah, if this baseball thing doesn't work out, maybe Five Finger Death Punch could hook Lavernaway up with a roadie gig.
So he's a catcher that couldn't catch?
Yep, yep. He has a pretty good blooper reel there.
I mean, if you can't do your one job, there's probably a reason why we don't really know his name, right?
I don't really follow the Red Sox, so, you know, he probably got traded immediately or went back down to the minors. This guy's not familiar to me.
He probably got called a few racial slurs and then was sent down to the minors or traded.
Well, this guy looks like he's the one that was throwing the slurs. He's a white guy in a Red Sox cap with a perfectly groomed goatee.
So they called him some homophobic slurs and sent him down, as is the way in Boston.
As is the way. this one, actually...
I mean, there's athletes who refuse to be traded to the Red Sox because of that reason, because of the fans and the atmosphere.
I understand. I would not want to be in Boston either.
Same.
This one's kind of thrown me for a loop. The song "Innis Mona" by Eluvite, used by Garrett Jones of the Pittsburgh Pirates. You have to hand it to Pirates first baseman Garrett Jones. Instead of going with one of the usual heavy metal suspects, the guy chooses to strut over to the batter's box to "Innis Mona," a track from underground Swiss folk metalers Eluvite. The song comes off the group's 2008 Slania album. Noise Creep applauds Jones for his pick, since we support anything that helps spread the word about indie label-backed metal to Middle America. I don't know. I don't listen to folk metal, do you?
No, it's if you like that stuff, they're one of the better known bands. If you want to swing your baseball bat to the sounds of ay 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 ay, people playing violins and accordions.
Yeah, I gotta say, that's fine. This one, you know, that's not what you expect from a baseball player. You know, I would say out of all of the major sports, the lowest collective IQ comes from baseball dudes. That's just, you know,
just look at Aubrey Huff.
Yep, exactly. And that's not like an outlier. That's just like the normal thing. So let's get back to what I fully expect here. Number 8, used by Josh Reddick of the A's, The Game by Motorhead. used,
that's,
you know,
fine.
Initially for Triple H, who is also a huge chode.
It's all about the game and how you play it.
It's true. That is factually correct.
Motorhead famously played at WrestleMania. Like, they played The Game when Triple H was walking out, and Lemmy just fucked up the lyrics multiple times because I'm sure they never really played it all that often.
Yeah, you wrote the song, you gave it to the WWE, they screwed you on the deal. It's probably not one that you practice in your regular rotation. How about this one? Paul Canerico from the White Sox, Harvester of Sorrow by Metallica. You know, that's a little bit more more standard pick for baseball player dudes. When asked,
more mainstream, but not like the most mainstream.
That's right. We'll get to that one.
Yeah. It's a little deeper into their discography, and I don't expect them to play Ain't My Bitch, whatever that song was.
That's a good one. I like that one. I would probably, using the haircut level Metallica, I would probably go with Fuel. You know that?
Yeah. It's either that or Memory Remains.
Well, that one's a slow burner. I need to get jacked up quickly, you know?
And I'd want to come out to one and insist we listen to the entire song before I step into the batter's box.
I love that. Taking just 9 minutes.
Just make the game go 5 hours long.
Traditionally, that's why baseball games took so long. Everybody was walking out to the full extended cut with the machine gun fire of one.
Yeah, I demand to listen to all the sound clips and samples from the movie as well.
Yeah, if I can't hear the lines from Johnny Get Your Gun, I'm not playing. It's in my contract.
Just air guitaring in the batter's box.
When an interviewer asked Paul Canerico who he would book for his ultimate concert experience, he listed Black Sabbath, Metallica, Pantera, Megadeth, and Led Zeppelin. Noise Creep can get behind that. Again, like, if we're looking at, you know, this guy's battle vest, this is it's about the most normie one I can imagine here.
Led Zeppelin.
I don't get it personally. Moving on, John Axford of the Brewers. Again, I'm saying all of these names and all of these teams, and of course, you know, 6 months after this article came out, nobody's with these teams anymore.
Europeans listening to this show having no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah. It's an interchangeable man with a goatee who goes to a different part of the country every 9 months. Number 6, we got New Noise by Refused, which is, I will say, is not a heavy metal song.
No, it is not. But that's okay. Again, it's nice that it's different.
I had my my phase when I was like 19, where I was really into Refused. I tried to go back recently. It does not do anything for me anymore.
You've moved beyond the need for Refused.
Yeah, no. Now I only listen to the International Noise Conspiracy.
And Boy Hits Car.
Yeah, yeah. How about this Joel Hanrahan of the Red Sox, Before I Forget by Slipknot. Nicknamed the Hammer, Boston Red Sox closer Joel Hanrahan comes out of the bullpen to the equally ominous sounding Before I Forget. Don't let the Grammy Award the song won in 2006 fool you. Before I Forget features all of the face-ripping ingredients of a great Slipknot track, a jerking rhythmic pattern, thrashing guitars, and a fist-pumping chorus. I love metal writers. Just, it's the same shit for everything, man.
It really is. Like, we've in the past joked about reviewers and people overusing the word slab when talking about death metal.
It's a slab.
It's, it's all of these, especially more mainstream publications, just it's a word salad of all the same things. Like, you can tell they're struggling to say something about it, so they just use some of the words from the dartboard just to fill in space.
Yeah, it is tough to write about music, man. I'll rephrase that. It is very easy to write about music. It is very hard to do it in a way that is engaging at all.
And I'm sure more people read this article in the week that it came out than our articles that come out for, like, the past 3 months.
Probably. That's even money on that one, I would say. How about this? Number four, Joel Lannon of the Phillies, My Own Summer, Shove It by the Deftones. That's I don't know. Not a Deftones guy. This is the era of Deftones I remember most well. How about you?
When everyone accepted that they were new metal and weren't trying to rewrite history.
It was a simpler time, man. We wore big pants. We had bounce riffs, and we were mad at our parents and our schools.
Like, Deftones literally has a song about school. And, like, being mad about it. I'm sure there's some sort of secret sexual connotation to it, too. But, I mean, the video, he's like, they're literally in a school.
And you're mad about it.
Mad about it.
And I agree with that. I'm constantly in school and mad about it.
I haven't been in school in whatever 10 years, and I'm still mad about it. What a waste of time. I could have been digging ditches.
Here we go, though. This one, we're getting back to where we imagine we are with baseball players in general. Number three, Brett Pill of the Giants, I'm Broken by Pantera.
Sure.
That's not a song I would use to like, hype me up, to get out there and be like, I'm going to fucking hit that ball so well. Here's a song about how fucked up and shitty I am. Number two, again, this is getting too, a little too cliche for me. Jonathan Broxton of the Reds, Iron Man by Black Sabbath.
Standard as standard can be.
I mean, you got, like, middle school marching bands playing Iron Man. I don't think this counts as a hype-up song anymore. It's like ambient wallpaper, you know?
I mean, if you're going to go with the most standard Black Sabbath songs there is, wouldn't you go at least with Paranoid? At least that's a little more upbeat?
Yes, I would go with that. Again, you know my preferences. I would go with some Ozzy solo stuff. You know, get the sensation of that you've just inhaled half of Columbia and you're ready to rip, man.
Or I'd pull the same move as with Metallica in one. I'd insist they play Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath and just listen to all of it. And just lull the pitcher into, like, a sense of tiredness.
That's a good strategy. That's playing defensive baseball. That's what you got to do.
4D baseball.
Can you guess what number one is?
I can.
You want
to
go ahead?
It's going to be. It's going to be Mariano Rivera, who was the closer for the Yankees for about 20 years, the best closer ever, and he would always come out to Metallica's Enter Sandman.
Hey, you're just mad because I'll be able to do something with my fucking guitar in hands that you'll never be able to achieve in your entire life, kid. So yeah, you're gay.
You nailed it. That's the one. This was exactly what I expected as soon as I opened this article, and hey, there we go.
I mean, that's probably one of the best known song to player connection. Like, I couldn't name anyone else where a song is like specifically theirs and whatever little aura they have around them. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he doesn't like Metallica and they just gave that song to him.
Yeah, that's that's actually pretty accurate. The dude likes cumbia or whatever, but they were like, no, use this. It'll give you like a, you know, a cool image or whatever. He's like, that's fine. That's fine. I'll use that. No, I remember.
He's a Trump supporter, so fuck him.
Yeah, they all are, man.
Outwardly, specifically.
The last time that the Rangers were really on top, which was back in, 2011 90s. Through 2013, I would catch as many games as I could because they were a really exciting team at the time. They were doing pretty well. They almost clinched two different World Series and broke my heart in two different times. But that was the era that they had Josh Hamilton as their big slugger, who would come out to the plate, listening to one of those contemporary Christian bands like "Lord, You Lift Your Name Up High." It's like I am not amped right now, man.
Should have recommended him some praise metal at least.
Striper.
Well, there's this like sub genre of, I don't even know how many bands really do this, but it's kind of like power metal, traditional heavy metal, but it's all like praise Adonai, the Lamb and the Shepherd.
There are options out there if your whole thing is, you know, you're trying to rehabilitate your image after being a huge fuck up. But he's out of the majors now, so it doesn't matter.
What is your preferred Texas Rangers color? Is it when they have their blue in their uniforms or when they were red?
Definitely the blue. I have bought one jersey in my adult life. It was the nice blue when Ian Kinsler was part of the team. That was a very long time ago.
Nice Jewish boy, Ian Kinsler.
Yeah, he's I'm struggling to think of other modern era Jewish players that actually like really had a solid career. Who do you got?
There was a guy on the Mets. I'm blanking on his name. There's a few out there, but not many.
Kinsler was a part of that team that was, you know, on the cusp twice. These fucking bastards. Anyway, I'm not going to watch a single Rangers game this year. Fuck it. Who's your team?
You say that. Oh, my team is the Yankees.
Okay. All right.
The team that beat the Rangers all throughout the 90s to win the World Series.
Yeah. That's fine. It doesn't matter. You know, it's rooting for laundry or whatever, but it is fun to get, you know, it's fun to get invested in things, I guess. So I take it you're not going to go out to any games this year then?
Yeah, I mean, it's also a hassle to go to the games because you got to drive to the Bronx and pay $40 in parking, et cetera, et cetera. It's Major League sports is really priced out, even middle class families at this point. Like, it's an investment to bring your family to a game.
Yeah, no, when I was a kid, I liked going to games. It was cheap as shit. They had all kinds of, promotions to encourage people to get out there and spend $5 on a ticket, and that's just not the case anymore.
When I lived in D.C. for a summer, I went to, like, three or four Nationals games, and I'm just like, give me the cheapest ticket you have. It was $3. $3.
That rules. I've been to one NFL game in my life because tickets for football are absolutely fucking insane. Like, I went to a Raiders game in Oakland, you know, at their shitty old stadium that was falling down, and still that ticket cost me $300. It was bad seats.
Imagine spending $300 and then being murdered by some Oakland Raiders fan.
Oh man, I saw this guy get. You know what? I don't want to talk about evidence of crimes on the show.
Statute of limitations have probably passed.
I don't know. I don't know what the statute of limitations on felony assault is. fun crowd, fun game, though. Damn shame that O.co Stadium is no more.
That's one thing American sports fans don't have on European football or soccer fans is, like, we don't bring flares and just throw them at opposing players and just light the stands on fire.
I would like to experience that once. You know, during the power outages and all the shit out here, went out to this chain of Mexican groceries, these huge stores. I was outside one waiting forever to get in so I could get a couple of supplies that we needed. And people were getting rowdy, and there were two groups of guys that started chanting their rival, like, Mexican League soccer anthems at each other, like getting really fired up at each other.
Of all the things to bring up, your rival sports teams, that is not the time to do it.
Like, during a huge crisis, like, all right, let's get rowdy right now. And that's the joy of sports, that can bring us together in that way.
Cruz Azul, motherfucker.
And I don't know, you and I were kind of, like, chirping back and forth that, because we've talked about this before, that there really is a dearth of metal, of hardcore, you know, around the world of sports, which is, I think, one of those things that's, like, universal in a certain way, that there is so much passion, intensity, devotion behind it, that, like, it seems like it's a huge miss. You know, I can think of a few, like, notable acts, like, you know, 10 Yard Fight or whatever from, like, fucking 1989, but it seems like we haven't made any huge advancements in this realm.
In bands fighting each other?
No, I mean, like, basically sports themes.
Oh, sports themed bands? Yeah. I don't know. I think there's always kind of been that, like, anti-jock mentality for a lot of heavier music, despite, like, hardcore and beat down hardcore bands existing that is very much jock mentality and very much just wanting to assault people all the time. I think it's, I don't know. It's difficult for me because I've always been someone, as if you've ever seen SLC Punk, I'm someone who's always gone in between the tribes. I can go back and forth. Like, I played sports in high school, but I was also in a band, and I also liked metal and some hardcore and some punk and some ska and some other things. Whereas some people were, they're just the hippie kids. They're just the punk kids. And for me, it's just like, I don't know. I'm just me.
Yeah, in high school I played sports. I played in bands. Didn't really matter none to me. I was just, you know, having fun, doing whatever seemed to be a nice diversion at the time.
And I guess it's just not super bled over into music. I mean, I know there's, like, themed bands where some bands have a gimmick. I think there was some band in the 70s that was, like, a Village People knockoff, but it was all sports themed.
That's kind of fun. That seems like a fun gimmick.
For exactly one album.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about how many pirate metal bands there are. Like,
it's all torturous.
Yeah, it couldn't have, like, I don't know, hockey-themed metal band. Couldn't have, like, you know, football, soccer, anything like that. You know, these things seem fairly popular. Much more popular than pirates, I would say.
I guess pirates span the spectrum, and it's not just limited to Canadian music fans who want to hear their favorite song about the Edmonton Oilers.
I guess so. I figure, you know, metal is kind of an aging genre, I would say. You know, we haven't really hit any strides in a good long while. I mean, you saw that Furnace Fest lineup. Everybody.
Yeah, it was all bands from the early 2000s, mostly.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think that there might be something to it, just starting a band that's nothing but references to sport events in the 90s and early 2000s.
I thought we could also go with the referencing nothing but lower back pain and wanting to go to bed at 10 o'clock for the aging metal fans.
Yeah, there's that option too. We can mix it up. You know, the ballads are about how your back hurts. But I don't know. There might be something to that. You know, songs about Tanya Harding, right?
Classic.
We could do songs about John Rocker's Ride on the L Train.
So many slurs.
Yeah, that's it. For folks that aren't familiar, maybe you want to look that one up.
And where's John Rocker now, huh?
Well, his legacy is that he inspired Kenny fucking Powers, so, I mean, that's pretty good. Who among us can say that we inspired a cultural powerhouse like that?
He ended up pitching for some independent league team, which, for those that don't know, is not affiliated with Major League Baseball or their farm system at all. It's just a team that exists and plays other teams that exist. And then he was on, I don't know if you remember this from Spike TV, Pros versus Joes.
Hell yeah, I remember that. That shit ruled.
Yeah, he was on that, and I think that's the last name I've ever heard of him. I'm sure he's had some sort of extensive police record since then. I can't imagine him having a normal life.
Oh, man, I remember an episode of Pros versus Joes where somebody was trying to out-rebound Scottie Pippen.
You can't out-rebound Scottie Pippen.
This is never going to happen. Or shit, maybe it was Dennis Rodman. Fuck.
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, that's my
Dennis Rodman was the better rebounder.
He was. For all of his quirks, he was the best in the league at rebounds.
He was actually a really good basketball player for a few years.
And yeah, we could write songs about Michael Jordan's crippling gambling problems.
There was a story because he was friends with like Wayne Gretzky and other celebrities, and they were I think it was in Las Vegas, just at a casino, and they had a waitress serving them, stuff like that. And Michael Jordan gave like a $5 tip, and Wayne Gretzky said, no, we don't do that, and like gave her a couple hundred dollars.
That's a very on-brand story, I would say.
And both famously with Bo Jackson were in a cartoon in the 90s. I don't know if you've ever seen that. I think it was called like Action Stars.
Fuck, I do remember that. Yeah. Man.
Where they were sports stars by day and superheroes by night.
Bo Jackson deserved better. It's a damn shame.
He's not dead.
Yeah, but I mean, his career got cut short when he was, you know, the most exciting fucking sports talent in the world.
Because he injured himself playing one sport and then couldn't perform in the other.
I know. He was, the some candles that burn the brightest, whatever.
Bo knows.
And I think that a lot of people maybe our age or a little bit younger have entirely inaccurate ideas of Michael Jordan due to Space Jam. He was not like a kindly guy that played... played sports.
He did not play. Really beat the Monstars.
No, instead he might have got his own father killed due to gambling debts, allegedly.
Proven, allegedly. Yeah, you could talk about what Sandy Alomar spitting in an umpire's face.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I actually found a song this week that is about that specifically, and I've had it stuck in my head for a full week. Let's listen to that real quick. It's real short. Delightful. I love it.
Start a hardcore beatdown band, call it our test, and every song is about fighting every single person that comes near you.
Who is the hockey player that beat the shit out of a fan that jumped in the penalty box?
Ty Domi. Famous enforcer and fighter. Enforcers have kind of gone away in recent time as people start frowning more on fighting, even though it hasn't really stopped. There was kind of this role, in the especially in the 70s through the 90s, of these guys who could play hockey. They could score a goal every now and then, but they were just legitimate tough guys. And their role was to kind of protect the stars of the teams, you know, protect the Wayne Gretzky's and the Mark Messier's and Chris Chelios's and stuff like that of the world. And if someone would kind of check them a little too hard or would play a little dirty, these guys would go out and fight them. And there was John Rambo Kordick was one of them. Bob Probert was another. And Ty Domi was another. In the 90s, there was tape trading going on a lot, like with pro wrestling, for stuff you couldn't get. It was compilations of these guys having fights. And I think I actually still have a couple of them. And Ty Domi was a personal favorite. He was a New York Ranger for a while. He was a Toronto Maple Leaf, a couple other guys. And this one game, they're playing against the Philadelphia Flyers. And there was some back and forth dirty plays. There was fighting. He was in the penalty box, and someone in the crowd was just yelling at him, being annoying, and Ty Domi took his water bottle and squirted at him over the glass, protective glass. So the guy jumped at the glass, causing it to collapse, and the guy fell into the penalty box with this noted tough guy who was paid millions of dollars to fight, and Ty Domi just started wailing on him. And you can go onto YouTube and find this real easily. The guy ends up all bloodied, and I think he got arrested. And I don't know if anything ever happened to Ty Domi. I think he was pretty much like legally okay because this guy invaded his personal space threateningly, and that was about the end of it.
I do love that there's like the world's wildest hockey fights VHSs like rolling around in people's collections. Like that's so early Fox shit.
I mean, now it's all on YouTube, and there's all sorts of compilations. And former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, when he was running for president in I think 2008, like they were trying to toughen up his image and make him like not like the skinny little wiener that he is, say that like when he wanted to wind down at home, he would watch hockeyfights.com. And people are like, no, you don't. No one believes you.
That's the equivalent of like a greasy turd, like fucking Ted Cruz taking a video of himself shooting poorly at the range.
Going to the border and speaking quietly to Fox News because we think there are coyotes and drug runners just over this border. But we're not going to say anything because we're afraid.
God, what a fucking chode. I hate him so much.
And he's probably going to win re-election, isn't he?
I mean, there is no one on the bench to offer any kind of even token opposition. So, yeah, almost certainly.
They never stopped their current president. He had nothing to offer, really, and still somehow managed to get 80 million votes because he was not this guy. It can happen, right?
I guess so. I don't see it happening. I see Ted Cruz enjoying a long sustained career in office until inevitably he gets stabbed to death
by one of his children.
Yeah, those kids fucking hate him. I know that you know, we probably have listeners that don't care about sports, but I'm on the train now. Like I really think I think one of the most interesting sports stories, like, you know, of the modern era, would be, of course, James Buster Douglas knocking out Mike Tyson, like the biggest upset I can recall, you know. And I think that's ripe for like some kind of rock opera or musical exploration of you know, all of these converging forces in the ring, you know.
It pretty much ruined Mike Tyson's career after that.
Yeah, he was doing a pretty good job of ruining it with stuff outside the ring, but that really did.
He was, but the myth of Mike Tyson just being able to knock anyone out, I mean, that put an end to it. And like, I know Mike Tyson was supposed to be a guest referee for a WWF Saturday Night main event, and after that fight, Buster Douglas became the special guest referee because who wants to see Mike Tyson now?
Yeah, Mike Tyson. Of course, he. He got stripped from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out by Nintendo. After Buster Douglas won, the Sega Genesis people, they quickly slapped together a James Buster Douglas right. boxing game. Yeah. And of course, Douglas was just some fucking guy. He was not, you know,
some guy.
He wasn't a world beater or anything like that. So he lost his title like immediately afterwards. And he enjoyed a long career, post-career life of just eating sandwiches and driving around in his Lamborghini, which seems fucking awesome.
That can, in boxing, that happens more than most other sports. You could look at someone like Leon Spinks, for example. You know, you're a ham and egg boxer or even a tomato can, but you get one good punch and they make multiple movies out of you, and people know that Rocky is based off your life. It just happens. Sometimes you just have one good fight.
It's a shame that the sport of boxing killed itself, because you know, I think it's such a fascinating thing. But you know, the powers that be decided that they wanted to make short term money rather than have this be a long term sport. Which I guess everything that we know about you know, brain damage, I guess it might be for the best. I don't know.
Yeah, you gotta ride that horse until they're no good for you anymore, and then you take them out back and shoot them.
Yep, and instead of, you know, cultivating the actual sport itself, that's what you do to the entire thing. Well, at least in the U.S., I think other people actually care.
So that's our new gimmick. We'll become a boxing hardcore band, and you'll have to learn how to play your guitar with boxing gloves on.
I think I can do it. I it'll be hard, but I think I can do it. Maybe if I just cut out the Wolfingi ends.
Yeah, if Puig Destroyer or Pug Destroyer or whatever it was can be a thing, I don't see why you can't be like X Buster Douglas X.
God, that's a fucking great name. Well, join us next week when we unleash our demo EP out into the world of X Buster Douglas X. But in the meantime, I don't know, is there anything else that we ought to get on in this episode?
Next week, when Breno's back on, we'll have him talk all about European football so that we can even it out with the rest of our listeners. I think that's fair.
Yeah, we'll talk about soccer, we'll talk about
cricket,
we'll talk about hi-a-lai, you know, all of those sports that you guys can't get in, squash, you know.
Greco-Roman wrestling.
You guys love that shit.
We're going to grease up Breno. Throw him out there with the wrestler and see how it goes.
It's going to be a good one, so make sure that you subscribe to the fucking thing, however that... I don't know. You guys figure it out. All right, we'll get out of here, and hey, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.